We interrupt your regularly scheduled podcast to bring you Listen, Watch, Discuss. Enjoy the show. I forgot to mention this in the intro, so I'm going to add this on right before the episode starts. But the Chiefs, it was their fifth Super Bowl win, or third Super Bowl win in the last 5 years. And because of that, and because they won literally the Super Bowl from last year, I kind of wanted the San Francisco 49ers to win. But that being said, I wasn't upset that they lost and that the Chiefs won. I didn't have a specific team that I was rooting for. I was just like, oh, whoever wins, wins. You know, my life isn't going to be uprooted or changed for the worst, you know, because the Chiefs won and the 49ers didn't. So yeah, I wanted to mention that. I forgot to, so I figured I'd add it on right here. And now let's get into the episode. Hey everyone, welcome back to Listen, Watch, Discuss. As always, I'm your host, Brent Aiken. And on today's episode, I will be ranking my top 10 favorite commercials from the 2024 Super Bowl, from this year's Super Bowl. I apologize again for this being on Saturday instead of Friday, like I said it'd be. The reason this time wasn't because I fell asleep before I recorded the podcast, although, I guess technically I did. I was gonna watch some of my shows, and I fell asleep during the middle of only one episode, and then when I woke up, I was like, well, fell asleep again, so, yeah. It was that, but also I figured I would just postpone it until today because I meant to do this earlier in the week, but I just kept putting it off and was watching my shows and, you know, work, and I kept forgetting to do it. And I was like, oh, I'll do it the next day, but I hadn't quite finalized my list. Like, I, in my head, after having watched the Super Bowl and watched all the commercials, I was like, oh yeah, I have a fairly good idea about which ones are going to be on the list, but there were so many good ones, it was, you know, I was like, okay, well, I'm going to have to think about it. So, you know, that's kind of why I'm posting the episode like in the middle of the day, Saturday, instead of Friday, like I said I would last week. And yeah, I just realized all three episodes so far of this season have been released on Saturdays instead of Fridays. So anyway, but like I said, you know, Saturdays may be the norm, or either Fridays or Saturdays. Of course, yeah, anyone who listened to my previous two episodes has already heard me talk about this. So anyway, yeah, let's move on to the topic of today, which is my top 10 favorite commercials from the 2024 Super Bowl. So for any of you who enjoy sports or watches the Super Bowl, what'd you think of the game? You know, I liked it. I thought it was good. The Chiefs won. They beat the 49ers, the San Francisco 49ers, by 3 points. The final score was 25-22. And not going to lie, the first half of the game, it wasn't boring, but it was pretty one-sided. You know, San Francisco was winning for so long. And it was like the score was like 6-10 and the Chiefs were like at zero. The 49ers were like, at, you know, went from 6-10. And, you know, the first half of the game, the Chiefs were pretty much at zero. And then it picked up in the second half after the halftime show, where it was pretty neck and neck throughout the game. So much so to where they had to give them another whole quarter of the game, so another 15 minutes, which, you know, with timeouts and everything, that obviously it wasn't it was longer than 15 minutes because of the timeouts and the commercials in between. So, you know, I think they said it was the seventh longest game in the history of the NFL, so which is crazy. But yeah, it was good. I was hoping, I was like, oh yeah, okay, it's over. But then I saw, I was like, oh, okay, they're going into overtime. And then I was like, well, it probably won't be that long. And then I noticed, you know, how much time there was. I'm like, oh, it's a whole last quarter. So, but I watched the whole game. I didn't watch the post-time discussion, you know, whatever they have at the end, where they're discussing the game and all that because I was tired and obviously I had to go into work the next day. I didn't schedule this Monday off. So yeah, it was but yeah, I liked the game and I know barely anything about the rules of football, and I don't really watch the games, like every game, or really many at all of the games during the year. But this is something I've been doing since 2019 because, you know, it's a big event. You know, it's kind of fun to just hang out with my dad and any of my other family or, you know, that happened to be watching the game that year and just, you know, watching the game, seeing how it goes, and watching the halftime show because the halftime show is usually pretty good, and also watching the commercials. And the halftime show was pretty good too. I liked Usher. I thought he did a good job. The dance choreography, you know, the background dancers and his dancing was on point. The outfit, the costume changes, you know, they all looked great. And the songs were great. Although I don't really know that many Usher songs, so I mean they sounded good, but because of the stadium, because they were in an open field stadium, like no roof. It was kind of hard, and maybe, and also maybe because I don't really didn't really know the song specifically, it was kind of hard for me to understand what he was saying exactly. But I was still getting into it; I was still enjoying it. But I was waiting the whole time for him to play "Yeah," because I was like, "Oh yeah, Little John and Ludacris, and him, you know, were all on that song. That was on his 2004 album Confessions, and that's probably the only Usher song that I've heard. But it's one of his most popular. So I was waiting the whole time for him to play that, and he played that towards the end of his show or the halftime performance, and that was great. But yeah, that was great. The game was good, and the halftime show was really good, and the commercials were even better. And yeah, I think this year was a pretty good year for the commercials in the Super Bowl. And yeah, they did not disappoint. And you know, it wasn't the game wasn't or the you know the whole event. You know, it wasn't front loaded with the best commercials, and then they saved like the lackluster, mediocre commercials for the middle and the end of the game. No, they had them pretty spread out throughout. And then of course there were some commercials that were some good or decent, and then some that were just like, well, you know, hit or miss. But they weren't like downright garbage, I thought. You know, like I enjoyed all the commercials to some extent. And then obviously, you know, you had the TV spots for some of them for some movies, big upcoming movies in the summer and the fall. And then some commercials because it was on CBS, you had some commercials for some of the CBS shows. But yeah, I mean, they were all pretty good. I will be towards the end before I reveal my number one pick, I will be listing my honorable mentions because I had a slightly difficult time right before the podcast finalizing the top 10, and I was like, ah, shit, I like that one, but I think I'm gonna put in the honorable mentions. So, but yeah, so without further ado, let's get into the list. At number 10, we have the Dunkin' Donuts commercial, and I love this one. I love that it's an extension or a sequel, a continuation of last year's Dunkin' Donuts Super Bowl ad. Because anyone who remembers that, the one from last year, it was Ben Affleck working the register at a Dunkin' Donuts in Medford, Massachusetts, and you know, it was just a 30-second ad. It was just him casually working the register at a Dunkin' Donuts and just seeing the people's reactions. Every with each new customer that came up to the window, rolled up to the window, just, you know, everyone either being shocked or confused, like, oh, I don't know who you are, to one woman even wanting to take a selfie with him. And then the very at the end of the commercial, the, like the last 10 seconds, J-Lo pulls up, Jennifer Lopez, who they officially, yeah, if you don't know, well, yeah, for those of you who don't know, yeah, they got married in 2022. So at the time the commercial came out, they had been married for probably about a year, and but she pulls up to, yeah, she pulls up to the window, and he's like shocked. He's like, "Oh, you're here," and he's like, "What are you doing here? You're embarrassing me in front of my friends." And she's like, "Is this what you do when you say you're going to work? You're going here?" And Ben just tells like his manager or some of the employees, he's like, "Sorry guys, I gotta go." And then Jennifer adds in the last line is her saying, "Hey, give me a glazed donut. Give me a glazed." And that was a pretty good one. I don't know if I had that on my top 10 last year. If it wasn't, it was probably at least in the honorable mentions because it was so good. But this one is fantastic as well. I love essentially It's we start off with J-Lo, Jennifer Lopez, in a recording session, in the middle of a recording session. She's in the booth, or she's, well, like right outside the booth, like seeing, like she's just recorded a song or a track from an upcoming album maybe, and she's like in the outside the booth trying to perfect it, trying to see, okay, well, yeah, this looks good, this sounds good. And then Ben Affleck, Jack Harlow, Matt Damon, and Tom Brady all show up in these like orange and pink Dunkin' Donuts colored like jumpsuits with a crown logo, and right above it says, instead of Dunkin', it says Dunkin's, like Dunkin's but with a GS, like King's. And they just pull up, or they just they walk in to the booth, like the back door of the booth, much to Jennifer's shock and horror, and they proceed to sing a just they proceed to perform a rap song. And yeah, it's just, the commercial's fantastic. From everyone's reactions, especially Jennifer's reaction, her reaction, her embarrassment of Ben being there, to Matt Damon, the couple lines that he has where he's like, sometimes this makes it really hard to be your friend. And then at the very end of the song, and also Tom Brady's playing the keyboard. But like, you have Ben doing this dumbass, smooth looking dance. What he thinks is like a smooth dance is just ridiculous and over the top. And yeah, yeah, Jennifer's line where she's like, okay, so this is, you visited me, or no, Ben says something about, oh, you visited me at work, so this is, I'm visiting you at work. And yeah, once they get done with the song, the line from Matt where he says, how do you like them donuts? And then him immediately apologizing, saying, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. Like, just him just being so apologetic to J-Lo for being like, I tried to talk him out of this. I told him this was stupid. And then Jennifer's like, yeah, and Jennifer says, we talked about this. And Ben's like, okay, yeah, you know what? You're right. Let's go. And J-Lo tells Tom, she's like, no, Tom Brady, you can stay. And then, yeah, the very last scene of the commercial is Ben and Matt walking, like, down the lot, out of the studio. And Matt saying, you know when I said I'd do anything for you? This counts as anything. And yeah, it's very funny commercial. It's a sequel to a commercial to the commercial they did last year. And yeah, obviously, Jennifer visiting Ben at Dunkin' Donuts, and then him proceeding to visit her in the next commercial at her work, while she's in the middle of recording a song or an album, was a fantastic follow-up to that commercial. And also, and on not only to mention, but because, Ben and Matt are friends, like the fact that you had Matt Damon in the commercial when he had some hilarious lines as well. And just, again, the fact that he's so apologetic to J-Lo makes it even funnier. And then, of course, and then, yeah, you had Jack Harlow and Tom Brady show up too. So yeah, all of that is why this is in the top 10. And I would have put it up higher, but there were so many more that I thought were, that I liked more. And not saying I didn't like this one, but there were so many more that I liked more than this one, that's why they're up higher. But this definitely earned its top 10 spot. And yeah, now let's move on to number 9. At number 9, I have the Verizon commercial, Can't Be Broken. And this one was hilarious. Essentially the setup of this one is, Verizon, Beyonce gets done shooting a music video, and then her manager, or I guess manager and friend, but Tony Hale is walks up to her. Anyone who knows Tony Hale, he was Buster in Arrested Development, and he was the voice of Forky in Toy Story 4. But he walks up and he tells her, he's like, "Hey, you broke the internet again," with her, performance of the music video, or with her, because he filmed her shooting the music video. And he's like, "Oh, well, I didn't film you on purpose, but everyone's loving it." And And her phone's blowing up, and Tony says, "Oh yeah, it's Verizon 5G. The network's crazy powerful. I bet you can't break that." And Beyonce then proceeds, the rest of the commercial is her proceeding to attempt to break the Verizon 5G network, including but not limited to. And I love Tony's reaction as soon as she says that. He's like, "Wait, what?" But she opens up a lemonade stand, which is funny because she had a song called Lemonade. Everyone flocking to the lemonade stand, including a chopper showing up and it making the news, was hilarious. And all these are, she's asking if it's broken, and Tony proceeds to say nope. But there's the lemonade stand. She records a jazz album where she's playing the saxophone, titled Let's Get Saxy. she plays she's playing video games, and let's see what else. Oh yeah, this one was hilarious. She creates AI but in her image, so it's got like her face and her ponytail, and she's like, "I introducing Beyonce AI." She runs for president of the United States, BOTUS, Beyonce of the United States. She dresses up as Barbie. She's like, "How about Barbie?" Yeah, what was the last one? Oh yeah, she performs on top of the sphere in the in Las Vegas. And Tony's like, "I thought you meant in the sphere." She's like, "Nope, on the sphere." And then the final one is she's like, "Oh, well, what if I film a music video in space? What if I'm the first woman to launch the first rocket for the first performance in space?" And and Tony's like, "Yeah, no, Verizon still didn't break." And Beyonce, and it ends with her saying, "Yeah, you're not gonna break me." And Tony's like, "Oh, okay, well, yeah, it still works." And then Beyonce's like, "Okay, they ready? Drop the new music." So yeah, this one, this one's great. The comedic timing on Beyonce is great, and the comedic timing of Tony McK I said Tony McHale. Tony Hale, sorry, Tony Hale is great. They make a good duo, comedic duo. Like they're back and forth. The dialogue between them is fantastic. And yeah, just his reactions to what Beyonce, her attempts to break the network, the Verizon 5G network, is fantastic. Especially the when she's recording, she finishes recording her jazz album, and she's like, "Did it break?" He's like, "No, but you broke me." And he's like all teary-eyed. And then when she introduces the Beyonce AI, and he's like, oh, what the?" He like jumps back in his seat because there's like at a pre well, not a press conference, but like a grand unveiling, and they have like like the first screening of it for the world to see. But yeah, this one was funny. Yeah, the pairing between Beyonce and Tony Hale was great. I love Tony Hale. He was fantastic in Arrested Development as Buster. And yeah, it was just a funny concept, and it got the point of the commercial across, which was, oh yeah, Verizon's network is so huge and so powerful it can't be broken, not even by Beyonce, as someone as powerful and influential and celebrated as she is. So yeah. Number nine out of the way. Now let's move on to number eight. Number eight, I have the BMW Christopher Walken commercial. This one was had me laughing because the premise of the commercial is Christopher Walken. It starts out with him walking out from, I believe, a hotel to his BMW, and he tells the valet who opens the door for him, it's the real he's like, "Oh yeah, it's the real deal, 100%." And he proceeds to do his own Christopher Walken impression to him. He's like, "It's the real deal." And he just says, "Yeah." like, "Oh yeah, that's funny." And the whole commercial is just Christopher Walken going about his day and running into, like, everyone he runs into does their own attempts to do their own Christopher Walken impression, and This one just had me laughing because that's so accurate. Like every time I watch Christopher Walken, every time I see Christopher Walken in any movie or show, I can't help but do that. It's like with Arnold Schwarzenegger, you can't help but not do the voice. However shitty the impression may be, you can't help but do it. And but I mean, it's funny just him trying to just mind his own business, go about his own day, and everyone just everything they say to him is in a shitty, well, although a couple of them were pretty good, but a shitty or sometimes decent impression of his voice, and including some of them being like lines from some of the movies that he's been in over the years. And it's funny because with each, every time that he encounters someone who does the voice, he's always he never like yells at them or blows up at them, but he's always just kind of just gives them a side glance, like, yeah, screw you, like he's like, just talk to me normal, quit with this stupid imitation of my voice. So yeah, that was hilarious. And then the end of the commercial is him going to a restaurant. Of course, the waiter who brings him to his table does his own impression of his voice. Sit down, Mr. Walken, And then he looks over and he sees Usher there, and he looks at Usher. I forgot exactly what Usher says. He's like, "Oh yeah, did someone say Usher?" And Christopher Walken looks at him. He's like, "Don't you have somewhere to be?" And he's like, "Oh yeah, you're right." And that was the cherry on top of the commercial too, because I'm like, "Oh yeah, this the halftime show." I forgot for a second. When he said, when he said, "Do you have somewhere to be?" I'm like, "What is he talking about?" But then I remembered. I'm like, "Oh yeah, Usher is performing the halftime show this year," and then Usher like dances out of the restaurant, and the end of the commercial is there's only one Christopher Walken, just like there's only one Ultimate Driving Machine. The rest, and then yeah, the announcer even does his own impression. He's like, "The rest are just imitations," and then Christopher Walken's like, "Ah, come on, like stop doing it, stop doing it, And then yeah, it's the all new BMW 5 Series and electric i5. So yeah, great commercial, hilarious. Everyone does their own. Everyone does. You can't help but not do the Christopher Walken impression anytime Christopher Walken is even his name's even brought up. So hilarious, accurate, and yeah, the tagline. There's only one Christopher Walken. Just like there's only one driving machine, perfectly tied into the commercial. And also the appearance of Usher and them kind of breaking the fourth wall with him referencing the fact that, yeah, you have somewhere to be, don't you? And he's like, "Oh yeah, right." It was, like I said, the cherry on top. So up next we have number seven. At number seven, I have the Hellman's Mayo commercial. This one is another funny one. It just gets me every time. Essentially, this commercial was is it starts off with Kate McKinnon, who you may know as SNL actress, or she's on SNL, very funny comedian. She was in the it didn't do well, but she was in the 2018 spy thriller action movie with Mila Kunis, The Spy Who Dumped Me, which I liked her in that. I thought she was pretty good, and she played Weird Barbie in the Barbie from last year. But yeah, she's everything. Every time I see her in something, she's always great and funny. A funny actress, funny talented actress. But yeah, it starts with her opening her fridge in her apartment, or she's in her apartment, she opens her fridge, and she's looking at what she has left over. She's like, "I've got chicken, scallions, cheese." She's like, "What am I gonna make with this?" And her cat is like sitting on the table or on the stool next to the kitchen counter, and he just says meow, like just meows. And she turns around and sees the jar of Hellman's on the shelf, and she's like, "Hellman's, holy shit, you can talk." And of course she doesn't say shit, it's like bleeped by which I thought was funny. It was bleeped by a like a cha-ching, like a money cash register sound, which is appropriate considering that she then proceeds to profit from her cat magically being able to say to being able to talk and say mayo, because the meow, then the joke is, yeah, the meow sounds like mayo, which it kind of does. But I just love how out of proportion and overblown and how huge her cat becomes throughout the commercial. it starts with her on a talk show, which wonderfully titled "Top of the Morning." She's bragging, the cat is in a her cat is in like a an apron and a chef's hat. She's like, "Oh yeah," and then he said meow, and he all of a sudden he could talk. Or no, my bad. She that sorry, the cat was a she, and she's like, "Oh yeah," and she says meow, and boom, Hellman saves the day. And then there's a woman watching the commercial. She's like, "Oh my gosh, this cat's talking!" Just the way she says it, and she's like making food, and while she's watching TV, and she's like, "Oh my gosh, the cat's talking!" There's a book signings. Everyone's frantically. We see everyone frantically trying to grab a jar of Hellman's at the grocery store. She is giving like a TED talk, and the crowd goes nuts. There's a photo shoot with Kate and her cat. Kate's trying to hold the cat, her cat, and her cat's like, "I don't want to. I'm not doing this right now." We see her getting followers online. The news in Japan, they're talking about her in the news in Japan. She goes to address the world leaders. Pete Davidson, there's a scene where Pete Davidson is at a photo shoot for Feeding America, and apparently it's insinuating that they're dating. And then it ends with her cat dumping Pete, and then it cuts back to them in her apartment, surrounded by all the memorabilia from her time as Mayo Cat. And Kate's like, "Well, you lasted longer than most, celebrities do." And she's like, "Hey, you want to go pound some milk and rip up the couch?" And her cat's like, "Meow." And she's like, "Yep, sounds good to me." And yeah, so hilarious one. I loved the kind of social commentary on it, on the commercial, basically saying like how huge even the simplest and sometimes stupidest of things become, like how huge and overblown they become. And then also pointing out that, yeah, everything has their time to shine. There, everyone has their 5 minutes or 15 minutes of fame, and everyone has their fun in the sun, 15 minutes of fame, but eventually that ends at some point, or people will forget about you and move on to the next thing. Yeah, and essentially it ends, and people move on to the next hot new topic or craze or person, and yeah, so funny commentary. Kate was hilarious. The cat, every time the cat said meow, it was just it was simple joke that I don't know, for some reason it just kept getting funnier with each meow. But yeah, funny commercial. Next one up, or next up, we have number six. At number six, I have the State Farm commercial. This one is had me laughing the entire way through. Essentially, it's Arnold Schwarzenegger is filming a State Farm action-packed movie, action-packed State Farm movie, and where he's the hero. And the only problem is that the movie is coming along well in the filming process, but because of Arnold's thick Austrian accent, he can't help but pronounce neighbor neba. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. And the director keeps trying to, if the director keeps proceeding throughout the entire commercial to get Arnold to pronounce it as neighbor, but yeah, he can't help but say neighbor, and yeah, the rest of the commercial is him pronouncing neighbor, the same way, and the director keep cutting and interjecting like, "No, it's neighbor." And then we get Jake from State Farm. We actually get a cameo from him where he's trying to coach Arnold into saying neighbor properly. That doesn't work. And then there are a few instances where he says other words. We get him saying other words incorrectly, or like with the thick accent. Like he's like, when Jake is trying to coach him on saying the word, he's like, "Oh yeah, no, just like it's written on the paper," like instead of paper. There's a scene where he's saving a woman from a burning building. "This lady is in labor." That one had me dying. And there's a scene where he's like parachuting down into a field of sheep, and he says, like a good neighbor, but the sheep are buying at the same time. And he's like, that was the sheep, that wasn't me. And yeah, just it's hilarious. And then the movie, you know, we see them filming the or finishing the script or finishing the movie. Yeah, we see them, yeah, finishing the filming process, and while they're on break from filming the movie, the director comes in and says, "Hey, we've got a script change." And Arnold's like, "Script change? What?" And then "To Be Continued" pops up, and then we cut to the premiere of the movie. We cut to the premiere of the movie, and it's the world premiere. And we see that they had they refilmed that scene where Arnold saved the family's puppies from their house being burned down. And we see Danny DeVito standing next to him. And right before Arnold can say the, you know, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there, their line, Danny DeVito interjects and says the neighbor part. So he says the very end, the good neighbor, State Farm is there part. And and everyone's like, "Oh yeah, this was great," and everyone's applauding, loving the movie. And Arnold's like, "You a backstabber," and Danny's like, "I am a backstabber." And yeah, just the whole commercial was great. The them poking fun at Arnold's accent was great, and I love that Arnold was a good sport about it. Like, he knows that he has a thick Austrian accent, so I love that he went along with the joke. I love the fact that Danny DeVito popped up, because I haven't seen the movie, but they were in a couple movies back in the 80s and 90s, most famously that being Twins, just, you know, the Jake from State Farm cameo, or the cameo from him, the director's frustration with trying to get Arnold to pronounce it properly, and also that joke at the beginning where we see the production logo for the movie and it's called Red Oval Films. That got a chuckle, that got a laugh out of me, because that's the logo for State Farm, is the red background with the white and red ovals in the middle. So yeah, a perfect commercial. The only reason it didn't crack the top five was because, and I really wanted to put it in the top five, but again, there were so many more that I like just a little bit better, but you know, six isn't too bad. So up next we have, we're halfway through the list. Now let's move on to the number five. And we're now in the top five. At number five, I have the Paramount Plus commercial. Every year, ever since after 2021, but in 2021, it was like March of 2021, when Paramount Plus, the streaming service for Paramount, was released. Every year since 2021, they've had a Super Bowl commercial, and they have all been pretty funny, pretty hilarious. And this year's is no exception. Essentially, the premise for each one is the characters, whether they're actors and celebrities and fictional characters in TV shows and movies and animated shows, they're all, you know, it's a random assortment of all the characters and actors and people that are from shows and movies that are on the streaming service. And it's just a collection of all these characters trying and failing to climb up the Paramount Mountain, which, you know, in the Paramount movies logo, or the Paramount logo is a mountain. So they're trying to climb the actual Paramount Mountain, and two hilarious results. But this one, like I said, is no exception. We have an interesting assortment of characters, like we usually do. We've got Drew Barrymore, Patrick Stewart, the quarterback for the Miami Dolphins, Tua Tagovailoa, I hope I'm not butchering his name. We've got Arnold from Hey Arnold, Knuckles from the Sonic movies, who is, yes, voiced by Idris Elba. We've got, I forgot his name, but he was in the new Odd Couple. He played Felix in the Odd Couple. But he's in Reno 911. Let me look up what this actor... Thomas Lennon. Yeah, he's a good actor. We've got Master Chief from the Halo movies, Dora, I forgot his name too, but the the host of Survivor, And yeah, so we, oh, and Peppa Pig. So I believe that's the team or the assortment of characters. But yeah, it's essentially them trying to climb the mountain. Tua tries to throw a hook with a rope up to the top so they can climb, but he misses. He's like, well, if it was a football, I could probably throw it, but yeah, I can't make that. And they're like, oh, okay, well, what if we throw one of us and then the others can like let they can let the rope down, or they can, you know, hoist us up. And and they decide, half of them decide, oh yeah, let's throw Arnold, because his head's shaped like a football. And then the other half are like, maybe we shouldn't do that. Like Drew Barrymore is like, yeah, let's not throw a child. And Patrick Stewart's him yelling, "Shut your face, Barrymore!" Like just the passion and anger in his voice, and like how angry he is. Which is hilarious, but he goes to and what's funny is that under his coat, Patrick Stewart reveals that he is wearing like an old-timey football uniform, complete with the helmet and everything, and then Creed randomly shows up, to which Drew Barrymore says, "And Creed's here," like, great, you know, why are they here? And then he's Patrick Stewart straps on the helmet. He picks up Arnold, and what's hilarious is that Arnold, but you know, because of his giant head, it doesn't fit. He's wearing this very tiny football helmet on his head, and Patrick Stewart picks him up, kisses him on the head, and throws him. All while Creed is singing their song "Higher," and they're going, "Can you take me higher? So let's go back," you know. Just singing that song, and it's in slow motion too, like Arnold flying up, and like they've got the rope tied to him, and everyone's looking. And Arnold doesn't make it. He slams right into the stone. He slams right into the side of the mountain, and they're like, "Okay, well, let's throw someone else. If he was made out of pigskin, I probably would have made it." And then they look, and they're like, "Do we have anyone made of pigskin?" And they look, and. half of them point at Peppa, and she's like, "Oh dear." And yeah, this one was another funny one. Yeah, just yeah, like I said, Patrick Stewart yelling so seriously at Drew Barrymore to shut her face was hilarious. Knuckles being so for, like, so pro throwing Arnold over the roof, just to, and because of how serious and stoic he is, him just saying, "Throw the child," like that got a good laugh out of me. And yeah, just. Again, another great assortment of characters to be stuck in this situation. They perfectly took advantage of like everyone's lines of dialogue and interactions between, you know, everyone. And yeah, just and to top it all off, Creed singing "Higher" while they're trying to throw Arnold higher over that point, so he can like pull them all up, is fantastic. And not to mention, they blend the animation pretty well. When Patrick's like holding his head and throwing him, the interaction between him and Arnold is pretty good. Like him, it looks like he's actually holding him. So yeah, great commercial. And yeah, we're down to the final four, and let's move on to number four. At number four, I have the CeraVe commercial. This one was one of my favorites, and it would definitely, when I saw it, I'm like, yeah, this is definitely going in the top five. Essentially, it's Michael Cera, who is filming is promoting the moisturizing cream, CeraVe, and the whole commercial is filmed like it's a sexy perfume commercial, and the voice he's putting on, like he's just doing a sexy voice, and he's got the beard and the mustache, and he's just promoting it as if he was in a sexy perfume commercial. You know, like the you know, the ones that sometimes they're in black and white, but they've always got like a sexy man or a sexy woman promoting, like Dior, I believe that's one of them. There's so many, I forgot the name, but you know, it's something like that. And yeah, it's hilarious. Especially, yeah, and some of the lines like, "Let my cream hydrate you," and him rubbing cream on the side of a mountain while he's climbing the mountain. And then him like standing in between two other, like, who they look like they should be in one of those perfume commercials. They're these like buff, you know, handsome looking dudes, and him just shoulders, like hands on their shoulders, standing in the middle. And then it cuts to the, and then we pan out and we see that Michael Cera is, it's a commercial, it's a commercial that he's pitching to the offices of CeraVe for their review, to get their opinion on it. Like, hey, you know, let's, you know, he's trying to pitch it to them to see if they can, if they want to, use it to promote the, cream. And he's like, hey, so what do we think? And the whole room is just dead silent, like awkwardly trying to think of a way to explain to them him, like, yeah, I don't think we're gonna go with this. And they're everyone's just like start looking around, trying their best to get out of, you know, not be as it's such an awkward situation. They're trying their best to think of a way to not hurt his feelings in a way, and just like, yeah, we're not gonna go with it. And then Michael Cera explains to him, he's like, no, see, look, my name is Sarah. So, and the cream is CeraVe. So it's like, it's a perfect crossover opportunity. And yeah, I just, when, as soon as it popped up, I'm like, and I saw Michael Cera, I immediately got the connection. I'm like, oh yeah, because CeraVe is spelled like Michael's last name. It's, his name is Cera, Michael Cera. And that was great. And then, and the tagline at the end, has Michael's explaining the joke. it says developed with dermatologists, not Michael Cera. And then an underline, they underlined the not, as in like, yeah, he had no part to do with actually coming up with the cream. Don't worry, you know. But yeah, it was great. Just again, like, because Michael Cera's just, you know, he's just so, he's funny, he's hilarious. You know, Scott Pilgrim, if any of you have seen that movie, he's great in that. But yeah, he's just a funny actor. And just he was Robin in the Lego Batman movie. Yeah, funny actor. You just got such a mild-mannered, kind of average, normal, maybe kind of higher pitched voice, or kind of just like, you know, it's just, and just him like promoting this, you know, a moisturizing cream, like it's a sexy perfume commercial, and he's like one of those sexy perfume commercial dudes, was just hilarious. Just, and the fact that he's got, he grew out his beard and mustache, but it's a little patchy, just, you know, was made it even more perfect. So yeah, let's move on to number three. At number three, I have the Pringles ad, and this one is another great one. I loved the setup is Chris Pratt walks into a, or he's in a gas station convenience store, and or yeah, I guess, yeah, it's like a, I guess it's just like a convenience store, but he walks up to the cashier and he's like, oh, I'll just this, and he's holding a can of Pringles, but he has a handlebar mustache, and she looks up from her phone. Jamie is the, yeah, cashier's name, and she's like, you look like the Pringles guy, and he's like, no, I don't. She takes a picture, posts it, and she's like, and just posted it. And then the rest of the commercial is just Chris Pratt blowing up, and everyone like being in shock at how much he looks like the Pringles guy. We, you know, we see a montage, or we see people on, we see as he's looking in the mirror at the mustache, we see people posting online, oh yeah, you look so much like the Pringles guy, and tweeting about it, and texting about it, messaging other people about it, posting the video. We see him unlocking his phone with the can of Pringles, and it actually working. We see him signing autographs. Everyone, and we see his agent. Well, I don't know if it's actually his agent, but we see his agent in the commercial saying, "Oh yeah, I've got a movie. I've got the deal of a lifetime for you." And he's in like this, like old Western movie where he's, yeah, playing Mr. Pringle, or Mr. P, and his son, he's like in a horse-drawn wagon, and his son also has a mustache. It looks exactly like him. And then we cut to Chris and the cashier, Jamie, looking at a billboard for his new movie. Chris Pratt in is Mr. P, and it's him standing in front of the mountains in the background. He's standing in this old-timey suit. He's holding the can of Pringles. And yeah, he's just eating some more Pringles, and the cashier asks him, "Hey, do I get a cut?" And he proceeds to like hand the can over to her. He like holds his hand out, tilts the can to her, and she's like, "Fine," and takes a Pringle. So yeah, this one was hilarious. I loved seeing Chris Pratt, and I loved the, again, commentary about how even the simplest of things can get like blown out of proportion or over exaggerated or celebrated. Although this one didn't have the Hellman's Mayo Cat ending where it's like, oh yeah, well your time's over. It just ended with him, finishing filming this movie. But it is it's also some good commentary on how a lot of people would say how overexposed Chris Pratt has become, and how he's one of the like seven guys that everyone uses in their movies and shows now, or the only seven guys or people to get cast in anything. Same with Pedro Pascal and a bunch of other people, because he was just in the Super Mario Brothers movie. He's about to play Garfield in the animated Garfield movie. Guardians of the Galaxy. He was in Parks and Rec. That was, humble beginnings. Emmett in the Lego movie, the Jurassic World movies. Like he's been in a bunch ever since like 2014 was when he really started to blow up. Because he was in Parks and Rec in like 2009, but 2014 when he was in the Lego movie and Guardians of the Galaxy, that was when he started to blow up. So I just love the commentary of, things getting blown up out of proportion online and like everyone overreacting and like the fame attached to the something so simple, and also the overexposure of Chris Pratt, the commentary on that. And I like Chris Pratt, but he is in a lot of stuff, and I love that they kind of poked fun at that. So yeah, funny one, simple premise, loved it. And the mustache actually looks pretty good on Chris. I don't know if he's gonna keep it or if that he grew that specifically for the commercial, but it doesn't look bad. And now we come across the final two. At number two, we have Dina and Mita, the Doritos commercial. And this one is a pretty funny one, too. We have the setup is essentially Jenna Ortega and her grandmother's, fictional grandmother's. I looked it up because I was curious if they actually had her real grandmothers in the commercial. They did not. But it's Jenna Ortega and her grandmothers, Dina and Mita, at a grocery store, just grocery shopping. Jenna says, "Oh, I forgot something. I'll be right back." And Dina and Mita, her grandmothers, notice a bag of Doritos, Dina Mita chili limon chips, which are kind of like Doritos versions of Takis. And but before they can grab the bag, another guy grabs the bag before they get it, and they make it their mission to get the bag by any means necessary, which it pretty much includes just harassing the guy until they can steal it back from him. But they go on this high speed chase throughout the city. He's driving in his car, and they're like driving on motor scooters at the same almost at the same speed as he is. And then we keep cutting back to the grocery store where Jenna's like, "Guys, Dina, Mita, where are you?" They go through they chase each other through different apartment buildings, or they go into an apartment building through different apartments. And he thinks he's won. He goes down the elevator. We see him exiting out of the building and opening the bag and tasting one of the Doritos. But then they grab a scooter from a kid had a scooter in the apartment that they were in. They grab a scooter, and Dina and Mita zip line down the building using the scooter. And snatch the bag from him, and he says, "Oh, that's dynamite." And as soon as right when they kick him down and grab the bag, they're like, "That's not dynamite, it's dinamita." And then he runs away. Jenna shows up, grabs the bag. She's like, "Hey, there you guys are. I've been looking for you everywhere. Where'd you go?" And then it ends with them walking away, and there's an explosion behind them in the background, and them saying, "Go ahead, try us." And I love that because the tagline has a double meaning. It's like, go ahead, try us, see what happens. Like, try to step to us or try to steal our Doritos. You're gonna get an ass whooping. But it also means like, go ahead, try us, as in, oh yeah, no, try the different flavored Doritos Dinamita flavors we have. They're pretty good. So yeah, it's funny. I loved seeing Jenna Ortega. She from you know the she's she was great in the last two Scream movies. Great actress. Gorgeous too, and I was about to say she's the same age as me, but she's 21. But she's within my age range. She's like 3 years younger than me. But yeah, she's gorgeous, talented actress. And I haven't seen X, but I've heard she was good in that too. And that her being in that and Scream 5 and 6 has solidified her as a Scream queen. She's in Wednesday, which I still have not seen. I'm gonna watch at some point, but I've heard she was good in that. But yeah, it was nice to see her. I loved her grandmothers just being these badass action heroes, Dina and Mita. They were great. And just the concept of these two elderly ladies, elderly Latino women, just like going like, "Oh hell no, you stole our, we were about to buy that. You stole our bag of chips, it's on, and just like running around town beating the shit out of them until they eventually get the bag. It's a great concept. And it was almost number one, but my number one pick, I had to put this as my number one pick because it was just too good not to. But this, like I said, this almost made it. So yeah, I guess without further ado, here is the my number one pick. I just remembered, before I reveal my number one pick, let me go over some of my honorable mentions that were I really wanted to put on the top 10, but I had to narrow them down. I loved the Google Pixel one with the nearsighted blind man Javier, where essentially anyone who is blind, it's like a voice, it's like an automated voice tells you, "Oh, you're in frame," and it takes the picture. That was a sweet one. The Kia one, for the Kia EV9, where a father takes his daughter, who's an ice skating, who's well, not professional, but she is an ice skater, professionally, kind of in a competition. And her grandfather couldn't make it, so he drives her up to her grandfather's cabin, and he gets to watch from inside the cabin her perform her moves, her ice skating signature moves. And that was a sweet one too. The Volkswagen one, where we see Volkswagen throughout the years, was great. And I wanted to put one, a serious one, or one that wasn't really, oh yeah, it's a funny celebrity filled one. And I wanted to put one of them, but there were too many of the funny ones that not to put on the list. So all 10 spots were, kind of funny ones. But those three are in my honorable mentions. The Uber Eats one, where it's like, oh yeah, to forget something or to remember something, you have to forget something else. That was a good one. That would have these would have been in my top 20. All the ones I'm naming are top 15, top 20. The Booking.com one with Tina Fey and her body doubles that look like her with the brown wigs was great. Especially having Jane Krakowski and Jack McBrayer in the commercial, considering that all three of them were in the NBC show 30 Rock, which is great, by the way, if you haven't seen it. And then the drumstick one with Eric Andre and the little puppet Dr. Umstick. And he's like where Eric Andre is having like a his appendix burst or something's happening with him, and everyone's just too busy eating a drumstick on the plane to do anything about it. That was another good one. But yeah, all six of these would be in my top 15, top 20, or I guess, well, top 16, definitely somewhere in the top 16, top 20. But yeah, so those are my honorable mentions, and now let's move on to my favorite Super Bowl commercial, which is the Mountain Dew commercial, promoting the Mountain Dew Baja Blast. And essentially the commercial is features, well, America's sweetheart, Aubrey Plaza, of course, promoting the Mountain Dew Baja Blast. And pretty much we get a montage of Aubrey Plaza declaring that no matter where she goes, no matter what shitty situation she might be in, or not even necessarily a shitty situation, but no matter what situation she finds herself in, she's always having a blast, whether it be a good situation or a bad situation. And some of the situations she's in include at a kid's party where two kids are beating her with pool noodles, her being stuck in an elevator, she's gaming, she's wrestling. She's wrestling another girl in a professional WWE match. She's at a party. She's being abducted by aliens. She's stuck in the sewer, and then it ends with her on a dragon in like an old timey medieval like Game of Thrones type outfit. She's riding a dragon, drinking, and then another dragon like rides up, flies up right beside her with Nick Offerman. riding the other dragon and also drinking a Baja Blast, and it just ends with both of them laughing And him and it ends with him them both laughing, and Nick Offerman saying, "I too am having a blast," and yeah, I just loved it because it's a little more simple than the not as complex as the say n my number two pick, the Doritos Dinamita commercial, but I love this one because it was the first commercial pretty much that let me know that okay, this year's commercials are gonna slap. They're gonna go hard. They're gonna be great. And like I said, none of them that they were all pretty good all the way through. And again, obviously some of them were like, oh yeah, they had a lower budget, or they were promoting, or some of them were just, oh, we're just promoting the shows that are coming up next. Just typical, not really overblown, big budget, funny type commercials. But even them, they weren't bad. They were just like, oh yeah, they're just what they are. But but the ones that were the big ones that were the great ones were really great. And then even the ones, like I said, that were my honorable mentions were really good too. And some of the ones I didn't even put in my honorable mentions or in the top 10 were pretty good. Like even if they weren't at like great, like those 10, like they were good. But yeah, I love the premise of the commercial where, if anyone's seen Parks and Rec, and also Aubrey Plaza in real life, but she is a kind of deadpan and stoic, especially when she's April in Parks and Rec. I mean, not that she never shows emotion or she's never happy, but she is, that is kind of her character. She is a little bit more deadpan in her delivery and stoic, like just kind of like, whatever, kind of attitude. And just kind of like above it all, or just done with it. It's just like, whatever. And the fact that like she's essentially playing kind of April, well, herself and a mixture of herself and April from Parks and Rec is great. But then also to have, and speaking of Parks and Rec, also having Nick Offerman pop up at the very end of the commercial and kind of playing again, like a mixture of himself and Ron Swanson from the show, was great. And it is also, and what's funny too about that is that not only is it like, oh, they were both in the show, but they kind of had a mentoree relationship in the show where she began working at the Parks and Recs department and he kind of took her under his wing and she became his assistant. So I was like, oh, that's kind of funny. Like anyone who's seen Parks and Rec would get even more out of that, the end of the commercial. And just, yeah, their laughter, because that's totally how Ron and April would laugh in Parks and Rec. Especially April, like if she was being sarcastic, like that's totally like her sarcastic laugh. And then also, yeah, Nick at the end saying, "I too am having a blast." That was just fantastic. So yeah. I guess that does it for today's episode. What were some of your guys' favorite commercials? Did you have a top 10 or just a top five, or did you just have one that was your favorite and the rest were like, oh, they were good, but I wouldn't necessarily like, you might not have a top 10, but you at least had like you liked most of them, but you couldn't probably finalize a top 10 list. But did if you couldn't make a top 10 list, do you have at least one that was your favorite that you could say, oh yeah, that was the best one? Let me know in the, well, not the comments, but if you want, you can, on Spotify, or I guess maybe anywhere you listen to the podcast, you can reply in the little question box that's there. I'm not sure what it's called, but yeah, the commercials were great. Yeah, and the game was great, the halftime show was great, and yeah, it was a good Super Bowl. Another year of great commercials, and I hope next year the game's good, the halftime show's great, and the commercials are the best, and as good as they were this year or better. So yeah, that does it for today's episode. Join me next Friday or Saturday for my review of Kanye's album, his debut album, The College Dropout, because it came out, it was actually a couple weeks ago, but this year's the 20th anniversary of it. And I recently re-listened to it after listening to it for the first time in August. And I was like, oh yeah, I really do like this album. This was a good first album. And regardless of, Kanye's anti-Semitic bullshit, he especially in the past, he was a pretty good artist. Like, he was a pretty good rapper, pretty good, at producing his songs, good producer. And yeah, the person he is aside, he is a talented artist. So I think that will be next Friday or Saturday's episode. So keep on the lookout for that. As always, I hope you have a great weekend, and I will see you all next Friday or Saturday, sometime next week. And with that being said, take care.